An Hakdama Gimel. Aseres Hayamim. You see it? Okay. So this is a pretty unbelievable. Like this, the way what he describes here is really a very novel idea. I don't think I've ever, like, you know, you hear certain things, and when you take those ideas and you extend it out, it becomes very interesting. This is a good example of like taking certain principles and then kind of extending them a little bit further. And what you come up with is pretty wild. So here he goes. Aseres Hayamim. Zehayom techilas maasecha zikaron liyam rishon. So this is talking about Rosh Hashanah, right? So this is the day that's the beginning of your actions. It's a remembrance for that first day. B'yom Rosh Hashanah nivra adam harishon shehu ikar ha'olam. So what is Rosh Hashanah commemorating? It's actually the sixth day of creation when Adam harishon was created. And why is that the emphasis? Because man is the ikar of the world, like of creation. U'b'chol shana v'shana kasher magia hayom hazeh hanikra yom hazikaron chozer v'nishne mechadosh kol inyan b'riyas ha'olam. So every year, when we get back to this day, which is called Yom HaZikaron, Remembrance Day, right? So Chozer V'Nishne, so in a sense, we go back, and again, we repeat, but anew, the idea of creation, the creation of the world. It's kind of a funny way to say it, right? You're Chozer V'Nishne Mechadash. So Nishna is like the idea of going back and repeating something new. Mechadash, like I'm repeating something for the first time. Or, you know, it's a kind of a funny way to say it. But what we're saying is you're going back to the beginning and you're going to start fresh. So v'kdei la'avin ofen b'riyas ha'olam. So in order to understand how the world was created, nitbonen b'briyas adam arisha, we need to contemplate the creation of the first man. Ki ha'adam hu dugmas ha'alyonim, because man is similar, or he's a model for that which is above. V'choma shenase ba'adam hatachton, and anything that is done to the man below in this world, mirames alma shenase dugmato be'olamot ha'alyonim. So is really like a hint, and it's kind of like an illustration of what's going on in the upper worlds. So like we said that line, he's going to quote it again, this idea, mibisari echze eloka, like I can see, mibisari, from my flesh, I can see God. So what does that mean? So the idea, the model of the human being is really a parallel to the upper world. So whatever we see in ourselves, we can actually, it's really corresponding to something that's reflected in the upper worlds. So now, Amru Chachmeinu Zal, Sha'adam HaRishon Nivra B'yachad Im Chava Mechubarim Zeh L'Zeh. So it says in the Torah, and then Chazal explain, that Adam was created together with Chava, like they were one being. Like a person, one person with two faces, but with one body. Almost like a Siamese. But, okay. V'acher kach, he pil Hashem tardema, and then what does he do? He puts Adam, which is really Adam and Chava together, he puts it to sleep, into a very deep sleep. Shena chazaka, al ha'adam, v'chatach otam imenu, and then cut it from him. V'hishlam et binyan gufa ad shenasu shnei anashim nifradim. And then God like fills in, so to speak, the building of her body until it's two separate people, Adam v'Chava. So really before that, it was one entity only to be split out. V'achar kach hivya kadosh baruch hu et Chava el ha'adam. And only then did God bring Chava to man. And at that point, now they're facing each other. So the truth is, if you go back, like the idea of original that body really was, in a way, the faces were not facing each other. They were maybe back to back. Okay? And that Hashem pulls it apart, separates it out, and then brings it back together. Now they can face each other. Panim al panim. So now, the hatam, ki ha'adam shalamata miramis al ha'elyonim. So this idea is that man is again a way of, it's a illustration or a hint to what's going on above. The kamoshi shalamata b'china zachar v'nekeva, adam v'chava. So this model that we have in this world of male, female, adam and chava, so same thing, you have this type of model in the upper worlds. In what way? The whole system of this world is based on the idea of the flow that comes into this world from above. It's based on the system of Mashbia Makaba, the one that gives out and the one that receives. So you have this model of giver and receiver in the most physical elements of this world. And it's a model, really, and a reference point of what's happening in the world as a whole. That there's this idea of Mashbia Makaba that God gives to this world, and we, the world, is receiving. So that model, You see that in terms of a model within the humanity. And so what's interesting is now take a stop and pause. He's saying, but before Adam and Chava get split apart, that wasn't the case. Okay, so how does that play? So first things first, he wants to just look at, let's first look at the idea of Mashpia Mikava. So he says like this, Sfiras Teferas, so we've talked about Teferas, that's Sphira, which in this way of describing it is the incorporation of the six different Sphira, we'll call it here, of Chesed, Vur, Tferes, Netzach, Hod, Yisod. Those six make up what we call Tefera. In this aspect, he calls it Ze'er Ampin, which is who, but it's the Mashpia. Omei b'yamin, it's in the right side, it's that which is giving. And so in a sense, v'nikra duchra dugmas adam harishon. And so it's called the masculine, similar to man in his original creation, as opposed to Chava, v'gam, v'nikra gam ken b'shein kutsha b'richu, haromeis al etzem kvoda yisbarach ha'mashpia tova bracha l'chol olamos. So let's line it up. We're saying teferet is the idea of hashpa, mashpia, which is also the idea of masculine, because the masculine, not man, woman, but the idea of masculine in this model is the idea of the one that's giving. And that's, in when we talk about God, we say kodesh baruch hu. That aspect of the mashpia is referred to as the holy, blessed be he. And that's the idea of, in a sense, God in his glory, that he's mashpia, goodness and blessing to all of the worlds. Now, when I say all the worlds, I mean the upper worlds and the lower worlds. So that's A. B, base is Sviras Malchus. He, Hamakabel, which stands to the left. It's the receiver. V'nikra Nukva Dugmas Chava. And it's considered the feminine, the idea of Chava. Now here, again, we're not talking male, female, as we're talking masculine and feminine. The feminine is the receiver. V'nikret gam kem b'shem shechinte. Harom is al or Hashem hashochim tachtonim. So you have in Malchus, which we say that les le mi gar me klum, it has none of its own thing. It's only its receiver. And it's in reference to the gods, like how we experience God, this is called the Shechina, Shechinte, which is a hint to the idea of the light of Hashem that dwells in the lower world. So Kodesh Baruch Hu is beyond this world in a sense, Mashpia, it sends the flow down to this world. And we refer to godliness that is in this world, at this light that dwells below, as God, as the Shekhinah, because it's, look at the word, Shin, right? So like you see how it spells really, Shochein, which means to dwell. So the Shechinte, the Shekhinah, is our experiencing of God in this world as that, how he dwells in it. So now, you have Mashpia, you have Mekabel. You have the masculine and the feminine. The masculine is the idea of the giver, and the feminine here is the idea of the receiver. Now, umitkila hayu elu hashnei bechinas lemala mechubar and zevazeh me'acharehem. So in the beginning, these two, male, masculine, feminine, above, they were connected, but back to back. Me'achareim, from their backs. But what's interesting is what he's saying is, what does this mean? It means that at a certain point in time, in the process of creation, you had a situation of chesed and gevura meshed together. Because that's what we're saying, that the masculine is the idea of chesed, giving, and the idea of receiving is the idea of gevura. They were completely connected to each other. The hutz, and that's reflected then in the lower world with Adam and Chav and the way they were created. And what you needed to do, so to speak, is do an operation to cut them apart, to make them two separate things. So like now you're going to have to take. What's interesting is, the way he described it with Chava, right, that he took this piece off and had to rebuild or add in. So the way he says here, l'hashlim et ha-malchut la'atzma, in a sense, he's saying that when you took the malchus piece off of the chesed side, or the mashpia, the teferet side, that there was something lacking in malchus that needed to be l'hashlim et ha-malchus la'atzma, and then you have to like completely separate the two apart. The idea of chesed would be in the midah of tferet, like we described. And now you're going to give the gvura over to malchus. And it's these gvuros that they'll have this completion of the building, as we saw, like the idea of Chava had to be like built up. It's only when you finish completing the building of Malchus that now you can turn it around and you can have the two face each other face to face. Okay? So now what's going on here? V'ha inyan hu. Shekvar noda shalamala ein shum temuna gash michas hasham. So what we're describing here is a world that has absolutely no physicality, right? So ach, kishe amrin panim hakavana al hanhaga shal chesed. So when we talk about panim al panim, the idea is of acting or a hanhaga, a mode of behavior that is based on chesed. Because she'omim achor, and when we talk about the back, hakavana el hanhaga shel din. So when you have panim apanim, that's good, that's chesed. And when you have backs facing, that's not good, that's din, right? That's din. Now here he says this line, umi bisari ech ze eloka, from myself, from my flesh, I see God. Which we're saying now is a much wider, we're taking this and we're like really blowing it out. We're saying that everything that happened in creation with man and woman, the whole way this whole thing played out, that's actually a description, or there's a corresponding spiritual element above that's modeled, that we're like what we're seeing here in the modeling of how man was created and split out and this and that, was what was going on a spiritual plane. So the idea of chesed, or when they're facing, or they're in tandem and in sync, when you have someone that loves his friend, what happens? They talk to each other face to face with love, right? Lo kein kasher midrages a love, but that's not the same when someone gets upset, the other person. Eino rotza listakel b'panav. They don't even want to make eye contact. Umachzir at panav mimena, and they turn you turn away from the person. If you want to give him something, you throw it at him, right? Don't bother me, right? So you see these two like extremes. V'lachin, kisha hatachton, im einam ru'uyim chas v'shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashpil lehem rak mitzad ha'hechrech k'dei chiyutam ba'ofen mitzutzam. So when things are not going well here in this world, right, and we don't aren't deserving, so then Hashem will give us hashpa only based on the fact that he has to in order to keep us alive. So that's being done in the tzimtzum way. It's like things are getting closed. So it's like the idea, the analogy is God turns his face from us. It's like you want something, throws it like behind his back at us. I don't want to have anything to do with you guys. So then, the idea is that when God's upset, Teferis and Malchus are connected, but achor b'achor, back to back. They're not facing. Ki ha'shefa nimsha mihachorayim b'ofen shal rogez v'nita mitzimtzum al yedei gevuras v'dinim. So that when we do get our flow, so to speak, it's coming from the back, from a place of anger, and it's given in a tzimtzum way, in a concealed way, through gevuras and dinim. So this is like not an easy existence. Right, very harsh. But let's say when we're in a place where we're deserving, so then God illuminates his face to us. And then so then in that scenario, when things are good, God is going to give us the flow face to face. But not in the sense that he's face to face, but rather in a good, positive way. It's coming from the good place. It's like he's turned towards us. Now, what's interesting
when Moshe asked this, that he wants to see Hashem, you know, and Hashem says, well, all you can see is my back.
Right.
And that we consider that like a great honor, like the highest level of revelation almost. And here, that sort of sounds negative.
So, but then again, Moshe spoke to Hashem panim el panim, it said, right? It says that he spoke to him face to face. But when you're talking here, this idea that Hashem talked to Moshe panim el panim, usually I understood it as, I thought it's understood that there's a clarity and first there's a certain clarity that was in the communication, the transmission between God and Moshe. And also, definitely, there's a certain, he's the way he says, panam panam equals a love relationship, right? That there's something special in terms of that. But, I guess you'd apply some of these ideas to that. It would be interesting, the fact that things were in alignment when that went down, that things were in a good, things were connecting properly. And maybe that's why Torah only can, that's the only way that Torah really works. The Torah can be transmitted only by panim b'panim. Any other way, it's not Torah. It lacks the clarity. Okay. Now, the kevan shebishas habria adain haita shlitas hachitzonim dugmas haklipa hakodemes lepri. So at the time of creation, there still was issues of external negative forces at play. The analogy being like when you have the outer shell that comes before the fruit, right? So that at the beginning of creation, you have a lot of this like negative, or let's call it, negative energy that preceded, that's block, that also is, creating a block of some sort, right? Now, He says like this, Vadayin lo nivra adam arishon, shiyash l'koch haklipos b'avodoso l'Hashem Yisparach. So why was the state of the world this klipa type of energy that's going on? And so he says it's because Adam HaRishon had not been created as of yet. And then what he would do is he would weaken the power of the klipa through his avoda of Hashem. So in a certain sense, like Hashem created the world with this counter force before the positive force of Adam was put in place. So at this point, Hayu Yechol Nachitzon Hidachez Ba'acharem Shel Teferes Umalchus Linak Liyanek Hashefa Me'akdusha V'Lahosif Koach LaHachitzonim Chas V'Shalom. So then, at the beginning, they were able to grab or get there from the backwards of the back of Teferet and Malchus, and to be able to get its energy from the Shefach Mehakdusha, Lohosif Koach Vachitzonim Chas V'Shalom, so that if you can take, you have the power, you're going to be able to like push positive energy into the Klipa, because that pipe is open, so to speak. So, which is a pretty bad thing. I mean, the last thing you want is to have that energy going and flowing towards the negative side. The dark side, right? See, makom achizas hachitzonim hu rak min ha'acharayim shu makom hadinim. The source of energy for the external, for the negative side, is only from the back, which is an idea of pure judgment. There's no love there. It's like there's a system that they can pull off of, but intimacy, that's not there. V'lo min hapanim shu makom hachasadim. So the klipa gets its flow and its energy from the dark side, but won't get it from the panim, which is a place of chesed. Dugmas haganav shemityare lavo neged pnei adam, v'eino gonev rak me'achorav. So the idea of this aspect, when he says like the backside, it's similar to like a criminal, a robber, that's afraid to face someone. Like he's sneaking around because he doesn't want anybody to see him. He doesn't want to have that confrontation. He only steals from the behind. So the way Hashem set it up at the beginning is that their backs were to each other in order to make sure that the external forces could not find the backside in order to take and like draw the energy from there. Okay, so it's kind of like, you know, so now you're starting to see that these descriptions of back and forward, it's like very deep in terms of what it means in terms of, you know, accessing, right? So the flow should not go into, and perhaps this is like what you see in the reference to the idea that God hid the light, the supernal light, because he didn't want it to get into the wrong hands. Right, it says that he separated the light out and he put it away because of this idea that you don't want that power to get into the dark side. Okay, you look quizzical, Jordan.
Yeah, it's like God is perfect. Why would he build something with negativity? It doesn't make any sense to me.
So the answer, I mean, the classical answer is that in order to create a model of balance and free will, because it's all about free will, you had to create these two sides. You had to have the negative side. Because if you had a static universe, if it was just one, you know, option.
Of course, it was Malachim, right? Running around, right?
Yeah, but this idea, like, if you only have, you know, one option, where are you going? There's no counterforce. Everything was built with a counterforce in order to allow that resistance. If you have no resistance, there's nothing there. It's like, what's interesting? I was listening to a shir.
Well, we had to go to Mitzrayim.
Yeah, that's a part of this process. I was listening to, I'm sorry?
Same concept.
Yeah. And that
start with negativity and then bring in the positivity.
or have that force there that you have to conquer. So I was listening to somebody today. He was talking about saying that in Gan Eden, there was no process. And the description of that is that they would, two people went into the bed and four people came out immediately. There was no pregnancy. It was an immediate type of thing. There was no process of development. Didn't exist. So it was just, which is interesting. So like you think of Gan Eden as like, wow, perfect. Yeah, it was perfect. There was no process. There was no development. There was no becoming. It just, you were. You needed this element of, so I, you know, the way he's describing this though, is that before Adam's created, there was a crazy world of like, you know, and if you read the Psukim, it says it. There's like, Tovavo, right? There's that could be, that's what, you know, here, Alpi, the Hasidus Kabbalah type of approach, you're saying that prior to man's entry into this world, there was this like really heavy klipa force that was going. And Hashem did not want us to let that have access to the flow from the punim, from the forward. It had to be blocked totally. So now, ulam achar shenivra Adam harishon v'hitchil lekayim mitzvos v'lehitpalel. So now Adam's created. He starts doing mitzvos and he prays. Which again, if you think about the Pesukim, it says that v'ei lo yalim in aretz, that nothing came out of the ground until Adam shows up to daven. Rashi tells us that nothing was happening. What was missing was an Adam. He needed a being that had the ability to recognize and appreciate something that was in a conscious aware being. Comes and says, something's not here, it's missing. He davens, and then everything starts to happen. And so in a sense, he's saying here that after man's created and he starts doing these mitzvos, nitar ha'avir v'nechlash koch ha'klipos ad she'lo haya od pachad she'yitachzu me'achbacharayim v'az kfar haya efshar la'afrid et ha'malchus min ha'teferes. In a way, so that once man shows up, the klipa gets weakened, and I'm no longer worried. Hashem's not worried about it accessing from the back. And that point, Hashem now can separate Adam and Chava, which we discussed as the Mashbiyah Makabel, Teferes and Malchus, from each other. And that's why Hashem put Adam into a deep sleep. Shehu bechinas hateferes, v'nishar bechinas sheine b'li mochin. So that's the idea of Teferes, which is in a place of sleep, which means without any kind of awareness and consciousness. V'az nitan l'hamalchus, hashpas gvuras milamala k'dei l'hachiyosov l'kaima. So at that point, he allows the malchus to get hashpa from gvura, from above, in order to become. And again, going back to this analogy of what he described earlier, Chava is taken off, but needs to be enhanced, right? There needs to be an enhancement in order, and what that is really indicating is that Malchus somehow needs something, even there, initially, and maybe that's why it's referred to as Gevura, where it's getting its feet from Gevura. That's something that we need to, like, think about, like, what that means exactly. That Malchus on its own, that I get, that Malchus, if you take Malchus off, it needs something to keep it, like, give it some kind of stature. Otherwise, there's not enough in Malchus to, like, be. So it's almost like you have to give it and enhance it in order to allow it to, like, have some kind of essence. And that is described as Gvura. It's the Gvura that's put into it in order to give it, you know, stature and ability to be. Now,
you have to create the kli. It can't just be a like a sieve. Like
right, right. So that has to have, there has to be something to it. It's interesting that the yeah. He's describing the shefa that gives it its what would be the good word for it? Like the idea of like having it, giving it some type of
like substance.
Yeah, right. Substance or again like structure, yeah. Right? Is gvura
or identity? Yeah.
Right. So the gvura is needed. But in a sense, like gvura is like this idea of pulling back. It's a symptom in that. So it's like malchus with gvura, which is so. Let's see. Okay. So let's next piece here. Vinei. He's building this up, right? So vinei. Binyan hamalchus hakavana al hanhagas haolam hamitnahe kifiratzon Hashem yisbarach kimelech hamalach hamidinaso. The idea of building malchus. What does it mean? God's desire to run the world in a certain way. Like what? Like a king who has control over his country. B'tchilas binyan ha-malchus haya tzarech liyot ayidei gvura v'din. So the first, how do you set your rulership? How do you set up your dominion? You have to set up laws. So that's, he set up Gevurah and Din. Ke'en malchusa da'ara, she behit yas duta, nitzrach lekva chukim mishpatim mechozek hayad. In order to get some type of society put together with the king in charge, it has to be set up with a judicial system, with laws. That's God through his judgment, his laws that he's going to erect the world. The after kach kasher hakol kvar al mechono yesh mokom lahamelech lakel kafi roos enav. First difficult din, and now then when everything is set up and there's like structure and people are behaving themselves, now he can pull back and chill out. So to now. The Chamochin the Rosh Hashanah Shemachil Shana Chadasha. So that's what's going on in Rosh Hashanah. When we start a new year, Matchil Hahanhaga Ba'ofen Shel Gevuros V'Dikta Kadin. How does it start? You're starting fresh. You start with Din. You start with judgment. You start, that's how you set up the operation. The Acher Kach. And now, and after the fact, when we've received God's, you know, dominion over us as our king, there you can add in the rachamim in order to weaken and sweeten the judgment. Right? So, it's going to shift to this place of where it's no longer the back of the back, which is strict judgment, and who's going to be able to prevail in judgment. Rak l'shatefa midas harachim sheyuchlu hashpos b'derech panim. But rather, we're going to get to this place. We're going to add in midas rachamim in order for the hashpa, the flow, to be panim, facing. Kimisha meyer panim lechaver v'sever panim yafos. It's like the idea, the analogy of a warmth that's there, and you turn to your friend face to face. V'az yu ra'uyim l'hayichud ha'shalim shel kutsha b'richu v'shchinteh. When you get to this place of the shift of the warmth that's going to exist, then you're going to be able to create this unification of kutsha b'richu v'shchinteh. And this is what's going back. What did it say? At the beginning of time, right? God originally was going to create the world with pure judgment. Achor b'achor. See this? So like they're looking, Chazal look at this and they say, man was created male, female, back to back, is a much deeper concept of what's, that's really the idea of how God was going to interact with the world. But Rosh Ein Olam is Kayim, Shitefa Midas Harachim. At that point, Hashem saw that this is not going to work, and he shifts it to a place of rachamim, but face to face, which is the idea of how one would, and when things are going well with your relationship with someone else, you're a face to face type of thing. So now he's saying all this is happening on Rosh Hashanah when you're going and commemorating. Why is there a din on Rosh Hashanah? Because we're talking about the creation of a system. And when you're starting out to create the system of having controls in place and things operating in society that's going to be productive, it has to start with strict judgment. But then, as time goes on, we have a shift. Now, and maybe, right, in truth, that it's possible that you would be able to set up this whole thing in one day. And so, because that first day that man was created was Rosh Hashanah, El Lafisha Chata Adam Harishon Nit Arech Zman Gmar HaTikun Ad Shmini Atzeres. So really, the Tikun should have happened right away, or very close to like the beginning. But because of the Chait, now it's getting delayed until Shmini Atzeres, right? So you're going from Rosh Hashanah, and you're going to go all the way through, that's going to be, what is that? That's 15. It starts Sukkos, and then it has at least 8 days. So you're like 23. So for 23 days, from the beginning of Elul to like 23, you know, you're getting towards this Panim al Panim. It's not... So meet us at din at the beginning. Say?
I think there was like 5 in a year. You have 2 Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Shmini Atzeret, and...
Saying there are 5, there are 5 what?
5 days where I think five days where Hashem judges you.
Okay.
Well, but maybe. But,
so you have Rosh Hashanah sure.
And Yom Kippur, Shmi Atzeret, and
or Hoshana Rabba, let's say.
Hoshana Rabba.
Right. So Hoshana Rabba, Shmini Atzeret. I mean, there are judgments also, like other, like let's say water. You know, the different Rosh Hashanahs that there are certain types of judgment, like that on certain things are judged on at certain periods of the year. Okay, but you see this idea that
if Elul, the month of Rachamim,
yes.
So, now what we're talking, but here it sounds like Rachamim doesn't start until.
So what is he saying? You have Elul, which is Rachamim, then Rosh Hashanah gets Midas Hadin, and then it peters until Yom Kippur, like through. And then from there, he'll describe here that you're going to shift back to Rachamim again. So it's Rachamim, Din, and Din because I'm starting out the world. I'm starting a new year that's like a new start of this whole process. There has to be Din in order to set things up properly. Now, every single year, this, what he's describing, happens in the upper worlds. Not just down here, but upper worlds as well. So this model of this process, I'll call it, this long process starts from Rosh Hashanah and goes through Shmini Atzeres. Now, in the 10 days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, Naase HaNesira. So now if we're doing the analogy game, so he's saying is on Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippur, 10 days, there's still like this connection. But then Naase HaNesira, the Hainu, Hafrodas HaMalchus Min HaTeferes. But at a certain point, you have the separation of the receiver from the giver, from the mashpia. Ubinyana nishlemes ayidei hagvura shemekabla mimenu, and we said that the malchus is completed, right? It's given this extra strength from the gvuros. Lachain b'yamim halalu hanhagas ha'olam hu b'dikduk u'b'mishpat. So the general energy of the world, he wants to say, from Rosh Hashanah is going to be a type of judgment that prevails in the world. now. From there, he says, from the day after Yom Kippur, Ad Hashanah Rabbah, Chozeret HaMalchus La'amod Panim B'Panim. Whereas before, this things are not in line, and there's no face-to-face. When you come to after Yom Kippur, until Hoshana Rabbah, which is basically most of Sukkos, you have this Panim B'Panim type of relationship with God. V'nimshachu chasadim merubim lahamtik dinei HaMalchus. So you have this very strong flow that is coming through to soften the judgment. Shetehe hanhagas haolam b'mituk hadinu barachmim, and that you'll have this the world that will be in this state of correction, let's call it. V'yakein yamim ha'elu heim yimei simcha v'chedva. That's why they become happy days. So Sukkos is like the happiest day because now you're shifting from this, you know, very strict judgment, and now you're getting this shift away. And then after Hoshana Rabbah, which is judgment, Achar Kach b'Yom Hashmini Atzeres Nase HaYichud HaGadol SheKutche Brichu SheChente BeBechinas Panim Epanim VeNimshach Shefa Rav Al Knesset Yisrael L'Chol Hashana Kula. So it's on Shmini Atzeres that you have this everything coming back together, and you have the unification of God, the upper, to the Shekhinah below. So that's God manifested above, Kutche Berichu, Shechinte, where we can experience God in our world, and they can come together. They come together on Shemini Atzeres, which maybe is what it's describing when it says that Hashem says, don't go, stay with me for one more day, right? That's Shemini Atzeres. So you see this idea of an incredibly powerful alignment of Panim Panim that exists between the Kutche Berichu and the Shechinte, Teferes and Malchus, V'nimshach Shefa Rav al Knes Yisrael l'chol Hashana Kula. So at that moment, on Shemini Atzeres, when things are fully aligned, that means the pipes are completely, you know, straight coming at us, they're open, they've been like, the everything's turned on, and we get this tremendous blessing that should last us the entire year. Okay, so I'll do a little bit more. Just a drop here. Vine, Hakadosh Baruch Hu Habocher Ba'amo Yisrael Biyava Chakak Ve'asa Shekoma Shenase Balam Asayonim Yitorer Lemala Aide Avodas Bnei Yisrael Lemata Balam Azeh. So Hashem, who chose the Jewish people with love, he ingrained and he did that everything that's done in the upper worlds should be awakened above. How? Through the actions of Bnei Yisrael when we do the avoda, and when we do our mitzvos. The alkein kemo shehu l'mala shamalchus nivne b'rosh hashanah. So therefore, what? Like we said that below, above, malchus is built on Rosh Hashanah. Kain hu gam lamata b'avodas ha'adam b'reishis hashanah shevetchila nitzricha avoda shel tzor mira. The first thing we need to do in this process is to remove the bad. Shum kabbalas ol malchus shamayim mechadash. We were supposed to take upon ourselves the yoke of heaven again anew. Mitoch yira ilaha mipachad Hashem v'hadar geona. It should be done through fear, through yira, and awe. Mipachad Hashem v'hadar geona. Va'idei she yivatel v'yimsor nafsho v'rucho la'Hashem yisparach. So now when a person is giving himself over to God, le'enof le'yishkod ad asher kol ma'asav yidikduk hadin v'ritzim lefnei Hashem, and everything is like really aligned and desired by God. Lachain, tzorach kol echad la'asas tshuva miyira, al kol hachatam v'avonos. So at that time, when you're doing the tshuva, it should be done through this sphere of, you know, being a fear of the sins and iniquities. Kevon shek ve'elu asar yamim nikba hanhagas ha'olam ha'idei gvuras v'dinim, v'chol bo'olam yavrun lefnei Hashem yisparach kibnei maron. So at this time, you have this judgment phase that's going on. Like it says that we each individually pass in front of God like sheep when they walk in single file. So that's all from Rosh Hashanah all the way to Yom Kippur. We're in a pretty, it's supposed to be like a very intense period. But then comes Macharas Yom Kippurim Veilech, Matchil Havodel Shel Asei Rav. Asei Tov, I mean. Asei Tov. So the first one was that we should really remove the negative. Comes post Yom Kippur, now it's about doing positive things. L'kabel o machl shamayim bi'avu b'simcha. We're supposed to take on the yoke of heaven with love and with joy. Kevan sha'ashav kfar ha-machlus omedes panim b'fanim. Because you know what? Now Hashem is turned at looking at us straight face to face. The love has been activated. V'akadosh Baruch Hu mashpia chasadim merubim l'knes Yisrael. And Hashem is now, he's pushing all the good stuff. And that everything in the world should operate on this mercy, on the attribute of mercy from Hashem. The chol echa meYisrael mekabel hashpos merubos v'kochos atzumos al kol hashana kula. So now you're able to receive all this positive, great blessing that's going to carry you through the entire year. Sheyuchal la'avod es Hashem Yisbarach k'roi bi'ava b'chol lev b'chol nefesh. And you'll be able to be put into a place that will be conducive to being able to be over Hashem with love, with tremendous love, with all of your heart and all of your soul. V'zeh merum alas v'pasuk smolo tachas the roshi. So that the idea is that the left hand is under the head. What does that mean? Because before you receive the Shema Yisrael, the Malchus Shemayim, that's from the left. The idea of taking out the negative, Ayidei Tshuva Miyira Hanikra Rosh Kmo Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem Zenikra Avoda Bebechina Sacharayim. So that is all within the backward, like the idea of din. Mizeh meir ala adam Hashem Adonai. So there you're getting Hashem not yud kei vav kei, but you're getting adnos. Harome Hashem Yisbarach Hu Adon v'melech al kol ha'olam hazeh menu yiru kol yoshi teva. So the first thing, and that, by the way, we saw this. You've seen this in the Sivas Shalom. When he talks about, and others that talk about what Rosh Hashanah is, it's all about establishing God as our King, right? And that's what he's saying here, that the shame that will be associated with this is Adnos, which is the idea of God is the master and king on the entire world. And then from there, we'll fear God. Okay, so that's the beginning. But V'achar kach mimino techab keini, so the Pasuk says, smolo tachis l'reishi, mimino techab keini is part of that Pasuk, the right side will hug, I'm now going to take on mitzvos from a place of happiness and joy from the right side. And that already is talking about worshiping God and connecting with God face to face. So now you see a shift of going from the shame of Adnos to the shame of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Okay? So you see this, the idea that when we look at the creation story of Adam and Chava, that we're like, oh, okay, so that's all that's there, right? No, this is a model of Teferes and Malchus, Mashpia, Makabel, for the entire world and how it operates. And so the reason why Rosh Hashanah is so intense with the din is because it's all following the same model. So Hashem, when he starts out the world, he's going to do it in a way, setting up shop. I'm going to do it with rules, regulations, strict judgment. But then as we get situated and we get to your past Yom Kippur, now we're going in a different direction. Vimino techab keini, it's all about the love. And when we get to that place of all about the love, so now we're just, it's a time for tremendous, tremendous joy. I thought it's a very, it's, I mean, I will stop here. So, but it, because it keeps on, it goes on and on. It's a long, long piece. So, but the ideas that we see here, it's beautiful. This, when we look at the creation, we're supposed to look and see and go deeper. Like, look, what's the model of how things work in this world? Mashpia Mekabel, and are they connected? Are they going to be facing each other? Are they going to be back to back, not facing each other? Are they, you know, so, and then what's the need for this strict judgment that we're going to experience on Rosh Hashanah? And the answer is that that's part of setting up the process. And so we're going to now play the game of, you know, when humanity is created, that's the first time that God becomes king, because there's no such thing as a king unless you have subjects, right? So we're subjects, we were brought into the situation, and now it's like this whole process is playing out, it's unfolding. But you see that this idea of the Adam Chava thing, that intricacies of how that developed, is really giving us more of this Mashpia Makabel, or God as Kuchabrichu and Shchinte, like that, although it's all being played out within the Adam and Chava story. And so that when we get to Rosh Hashanah, we're starting up at that point again, and where there's going to be the Teferes Mashpia and the Malchus, what needs to be enhanced there. What he described is that Chava needed to be enhanced. She needed to be built up. And that's why Malchus on Rosh Hashanah is the play. That's when it happened. She got separated off that day, the first day, which is Rosh Hashanah, and she had to be enhanced and developed. Malchus needed to be made stronger. And so now we come into Shul on Rosh Hashanah, and what are we talking about? God is the king. He's the king. All about king. Malchus, 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 Malchus. It's an unbelievable thing. So from the deepest place, you see how it's all situated, set up to mimic, or in a way, the model was the creation of Adam and Chava. And day one, day two there is what we're going to be experiencing on Rosh Hashanah. But the idea is that it's a process that gets us to a Yom Kippur that ultimately leads us into the Sukkot holiday, which is all joy. And that he's, in a way, he's also describing the fact that the back-to-back at the beginning, only to then be replaced by the face-to-face. So that when we get to Sukkot, more than any, you think about it, Sukkot is the holiday of joy. Ach sameach, v'samach t'pchagecha, to the nth degree, is unique to Sukkot, more than Pesach and Shavuos. And perhaps it's because it's based on this model that you see the shift of going from being a back-to-back Achorayim type of relationship of strict justice and etc., to shift to a place where we're going to get to a Sukkot, where we're going to be face-to-face with Hashem, so to speak, kaviyachal, and things are really coming into place. They fall into place. Like, things are really, like, you know, in that proper, what would be a good word? It's like, totally, like, in line. And so when things are in line and you have things, like, really flowing properly, it's like a tremendous, tremendous simcha. It's like you're in a good place, you know? So it's interesting how, like, the creation story is something that, you know, when we get to this time of year, it's like really he's describing it as how it plays. It's pretty remarkable. I thought it was a very, very interesting idea of how it plays. And then you can, you know, I think the idea is that when you have these principles, mibisari achse eloka, the idea that from my flesh I can see God, the hanhagos of how God runs the world. If we look at humanity and how we play out things, that could give us indications of how things are run above. That, you know, it's interesting just when you take a concept and then you pull it and you develop it and you say, okay, it's not just limited, but let's expand it to this bigger plane. That's kind of what we're talking about here with this this description of what happened on Rosh Hashanah and then what happens every Rosh Hashanah subsequently, because we're coming back to that same place every year. And so we're going to play out Malchus like we talked about here. And that ultimately going from the back-to-back to the face-to-face and of the intimacy that we'll experience on Sukkot. That's pretty interesting.
Yes. So I listened to the Baba Sherebbe talk about how every Jew matters.
Is that amazing? That's like, yeah, I want to listen to it like a few more times. I thought it was so powerful. It's true. I can tell you from experience of going on trips with people and having this crazy connection, and cannot explain why are we so connected. It's got to be this deep soul thing that every Jew is coming from, that we are so interconnected in on a deep level. So that even though on the surface level is something, but maybe you don't necessarily, but as you get deeper, it's like, wow. Yeah. So yeah, it's pretty powerful.